It's my pleasure to be here today and to follow the talk from Knapsack. I feel like we should talk. I'm privileged to. You might notice there's a certain Jonathan Koch creep into all of the child care work in North Carolina. He's my colleague, and we asked him to give sage advice to our program as well because of all the work he's been doing on child care. And Barbara Cameron McClay was the project director. Tammy Ringel Kulka and Jonathan were our advisors. Rachel Schechter was a student at the time who was supporting us. Nathan Nickel was also a student at the time who helped with our statistical analysis, and A.B. Peterson, there at the end of the list, was a person actually out there doing the project. So this is what tends to happen with these lists. All wonderful people. No conflicts to report, except that my major conflict is I really did not set out to do this project. We put in two proposals to John Rex Endowment. One was to work in hospitals, which we had been doing all along. And one was to work with childcare because we saw a need. They funded the one with childcare. So since then, we've been on a very steep learning curve to understand what it might take to incorporate breastfeeding successfully into childcare. So I hope that by the end of this session, you'll know a little bit about what we're doing and hopefully agree with me that maybe job aids as a base of training is a way to go so that we can reduce training and increase practice. The fact of the matter is most women in the United States do reenter the workforce in the baby's first year of life, about 55%. There's a common misunderstanding that if you're breastfeeding, you got to stop when you go back to work. That is the prevailing myth. There is national guidance that supports breastfeeding in light of national initiative, the Surgeon General's call to action to support breastfeeding, and the First Lady's efforts to combat obesity. I had the pleasure of meeting her, by the way, just 2 weeks ago, and I said to her, thank you for everything you've been doing for breastfeeding, and she said, we have to get it into the obesity discussion. So I'm bringing you the words from the FLOTUS. That's what she cares about. And of course, there's wonderful national guidance on child care and with increasing elements of breastfeeding in it. Child care centers, if they could support breastfeeding families, one of the goals would be to make it easier for moms to continue breastfeeding as well as express milk feeding, not just express milk feeding. And if it's too late or doesn't work for this child, perhaps having these materials available in childcare will help the family see the possibility for the next child. The Carolina 10-step approach is basically an innovative provider training. Why do we feel we needed this in North Carolina? Here are our breastfeeding discontinuation rates in North Carolina. And basically, what you see here is the ever-breastfeeding is not a discontinuation rate, but all the rest of them are. By 3 months, you can see there's a very much a decline in all groups. What's interesting to me is all the groups tend to decline at about the same rate. So it's tremendously important. This is why we're doing the hospital work, that we support early initiation and early self-efficacy in breastfeeding. But we certainly have to support the continued interest after moms go back to work. So being an academic institution, we had a study design. We did a phased operational research design. We had the O's mean observation, that's when you collect the data, and the X is the intervention, that's when you do something about it. And basically we had phased introduction so that the group that had the intervention first was considered the intervention group, then we had an observation, and then everybody got the intervention. But the group that was delayed served as the control. We also had fun randomly assigning groups by three criteria. As you heard from the Knapsack, we have subsidized centers that have a lot of subsidized kids. We have centers also that get stars for quality. And we also have large and small. And we stratified by those three criteria, tossed a coin to see which group the first one would go in, and then we did every other one in the group. It was a lot of fun. We played. But it worked out so that we had really two very comparable groups. The observational phase, we had surveys. Child care workers completed a CAP, Knowledge Attitude Practice questionnaire, and the directors of the centers completed a self-assessment instrument based on 10 steps. I should back up and say before we even started this, I may say this later in the presentation, we did a lot of assessment of what the real needs were. So we decided not to go just with national guidelines, but to find out what was really happening on the ground. Okay, so the surveys, then we collected knowledge, attitude, and practice, and the self-assessment. We also had key informant interviews with WIC peer counselors working in the same area. The intervention included feedback to key stakeholders on the findings from the initial survey. So basically, we took the initial survey findings and went back to a very, very nice stakeholders group that included Smart Start, the county health department, and others, and got their feedback on which way to go. Then the intervention materials were developed, posters were developed, and this two-hour training session was developed for all providers. We did not have laugh therapy, and I'm sorry that we didn't. We'll have to include it next time. Data were entered into EpiInfo and then downloaded or uploaded to Stata for descriptive analyses. This all took place in Wake County, which is the state legislator seat. The capital, Raleigh, is in Wake County in North Carolina. As I mentioned, John Rex Foundation support, and we had really wonderful partnership and collaboration throughout the county. And Smart Start was a very, very good partner with us. So first, as I said, we had KP self-appraisal, drafted the 10 steps based on this, developed the training materials, pilot tested everything. We pilot tested everything with child care centers in a different county, in Orange County, where we work. Then we implemented it, follow-up modification, and further intervention. So what were the training? What was the training and the materials? The training included 1 hour of self-awareness and breastfeeding discussion. What have you heard about breastfeeding? What have you heard about bottle feeding? We had some very interesting reactions to that. There was one woman said, well, I know that you don't go to hell if you don't breastfeed. So we got reactions from all spectrums on breastfeeding. But it gave people a chance to ventilate. And that particular woman, by the end of the session, came up and she said, I had no idea. So it's very important for people who are directly interacting with families to be able to assess their own attitudes, see where they're coming from, and test it amongst the group of peers. The second hour was training, but it was not slide. It was all the questions that come up and which materials you use to address it. Which of the materials are relevant for different situations. So very job aid driven. The materials were developed with very strong attention to literacy level. We tried to keep them brief and to the point, but you know us. We tried to address the fact that there's a diverse population, and we tried to use appropriate photographs. We wanted them to be easily reprintable. We wanted this to be fully available afterwards, and it is now online, and I'll give you that site shortly, a toolkit that has all these materials. And we wanted to have materials not just for breastfeeding. We wanted to have materials for everybody because there's a lot of problems with bottle feeding that haven't been properly addressed. We have extensive overfeeding by bottle going on in North Carolina. My guess is everywhere. Forced feeding, basically. Forced feeding is a torture approach, isn't it? And we do that to our babies all the time by forcing them to empty the bottle. And we wonder why they're obese. And we color-coded the materials by purpose. So this is just a sampling of what they look like. The purple ones are basically those that stay in the center. The green borders are for the breastfeeding, because after all, breastfeeding is green. It's very ecological. And the orange is for everybody. I wanted to point out, though, in the lower right-hand corner there, it's mandated that everybody have a feeding plan. Every center has to have a feeding plan. So we went around to the centers to see what the feeding plans look like, and they were everything from almost a blank page to a multiple checklist to everything, and none of it really addressed issues related to breastfeeding, what the family desired in terms of breastfeeding, and none of it related to what we medically call paced formula feeding, which just simply means not force feed the child, but to be aware of its cues. So we've added all that in there. So what are the 10 steps? Step one is that the center should make a commitment to the importance of breastfeeding, especially exclusive breastfeeding, and share that commitment with all staff. Two is offer that training. All providers should have a chance to get this training to support and promote optimal infant and young child feeding. Optimal infant and young child feeding, which gets us into the knapsack area. Inform women and families about the importance of breastfeeding. The importance of breastfeeding is such a funny one. When we started, most people did not see any difference between formula and human milk feeding, except that human milk feeding they felt was icky, oogie. You know, it was that uck factor with dealing with human milk that clearly came out in our first hour of training. So for somebody to inform somebody else that something is important, they have to feel it's important to be effective. Fourth was to provide learning and play opportunities for children that normalize breastfeeding. Like, let's get all these baby bottles out of the child care center, the dolls with baby bottles, but rather have booklets that include breastfeeding as a normal activity. And there are many, 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 many books now for children that include breastfeeding, that normalize breastfeeding and show the moms with the baby at the chest perfectly decent. I did want to point out that the logo on your right was our original logo. My staff did not like the golden bow. The golden bow is the international symbol of optimal infant feeding. One loop is for the mom. It's gold because exclusive breastfeeding is optimal. One loop is for the mom. One loop is for the baby. And you can see it's totally symmetrical. Neither one of them is more important. The knot in the middle is for father, family, and society, without whose support breastfeeding won't happen. One streamer is for continued breastfeeding with age-appropriate complementary feeding, and the other streamer is for birth spacing, basically, that this baby should be the baby as long as it needs to be. And that was developed when I was at UNICEF. We used that worldwide. My staff is modern. They didn't like that, so we now have this new logo, which is a play on the bow, but they're happier, and I don't... You want to make your staff happy, don't you? Step five, ensure that all breastfeeding families we serve are able to properly store and label milk for child care center use. Now, I want to say at the same time that we were doing this project, the state had launched an effort to improve this practice. So both the control and the intervention centers were getting a heavy dose of this at that time. Similarly with step six, which was, there was actually a regulation passed in North Carolina that all child care centers had to have a place where a mom could come and breastfeed her child. And that happened just as we were starting. And we were happy that it happened, but it blew our study design. But in any case, that was going on statewide as well. Step seven is support breastfeeding employees. The providers themselves, the teachers, should be able to breastfeed. Develop an optimal feeding-friendly feeding plan. Now, we tried to keep breastfeeding out of this because it should be an optimal feeding plan for all, whether they're breastfeeding or not. Step nine is to contact and coordinate with local skilled breastfeeding support and actively refer people with breastfeeding problems. Because a lot of moms come in and, you know, at the after the day of the work, they unload to the child care provider. It's an excellent time for referral. And step 10 is keep up to date, keep learning, so that you can be fresh with all of your clientele. So what was the result of this study? Oh, we did do a pre and post test questionnaire during the training. This was the pre and post test. I just wanted to highlight this issue. Some of these questions came out of our initial needs assessment. We found out that everybody thought you should be wearing gloves when handling human milk, but not formula. They had no sense that breastfeeding was part of their job. They felt ineffective in terms of dealing with the issue. Big thing in the Southeast is throw some cereal in the baby bottle. Very dangerous for a variety of reasons, and everybody thought that was a good idea. And there was a strong feeling that only moms with a great diet could breastfeed. And the fact of the matter, of course, is all moms can breastfeed except at extremes of diet and produce good breast milk. So how did they do? Well, they went from an average score on the pretest of 50% to an average score of over 90%. So they did get the knowledge, anyway, from this. Did the intervention itself Well, this is data here, but basically, if you look at the treatment group, we had an 8-point increase in the treatment group and a 3-point increase in the control group. As I said, there were a lot of things going on in the state anyway, but that is a significant overall treatment effect. The issues that we're pleased with is that there was a real change in the concept of breastfeeding being protective against illness. That one came up a lot. We did have an impact on giving babies cereal in the bottle. They began to understand that that was not such a good idea for a variety of reasons. They did a significant difference in understanding the wearing of gloves and a significant difference in understanding that all moms can breastfeed. One of the disappointing things is we didn't make much impact on getting them to understand that propping bottles was not a good idea. So we upped that in the second phase of the project. We upped the emphasis on that. So overall, did the project have an impact? What you can see here is that the deeper the orange, the stronger the higher the significance level. We had a significant impact on all the steps except 5 and 6, which I mentioned were very major pushes statewide. Even there, though, we did better than the control group in terms of numbers. It just did not achieve statistically significant impact. So yes, this kind of project with the training and the follow-up and the materials in the centers did change provider practices. So we're very pleased with those specific accomplishments. We brought these data back to Wake County. The county health department was very excited about it and wanted to put some resources into it, but we all know what's happening with the economy. The regular stakeholder engagement has led to many more ideas percolating up. The color-coded materials was a hit, I have to say. Everybody says it makes our life so much easier that we know which ones to give to whom. There was a high level of interest. Now, the unforeseen accomplishments, I think, were, as I said, the real collaboration that came out of this and the mutual understanding that this was important obesity intervention. Did it work? I think we can say yes. Can others use it? We made the effort to get it up. We uploaded onto our website, and the materials are available in draft form. We're updating them and making them cleaner now, but they are available to anybody who wants to look at it. Thanks to W.K. Kellogg Foundation, we are now taking this statewide and to other states. And we're going to have a national meeting of all the states who are currently doing interventions in the child care in April. And here's where you can get the toolkit. So I'll give you a second to jot that down if you want it. Sorry it's so long. If you go to UNC and put in breastfeeding toolkit, it'll take you right there also. Okay, our next stop, The next stop is, well, it's kind of exciting, and this was the unforeseen. The state has decided to give a designation, a certificate for progress on these 10 steps. And it's going to, it was supposed to be launched in 2012, but the person pushing it got pregnant. So it'll probably be launched in 2013. But the NC Kids Eat Smart, Move More plan to have a certification program where they're going to give one little baby building block for every 2 steps in place. So you can apply and get this lovely poster with the colored blocks coming up. The Kellogg Foundation is very excited about our approach, which is this, just what I described, exploration, translating your findings into the intervention, evaluating it, and then replicating it, and then going back and evaluate and starting over by exploration. So the packet includes the development of the basic online breastfeeding training for more people. We're going to develop training of trainers so that all the child care health consultants in the state and all the infant toddler specialists can carry out this training. Now, it's frankly, we needed in North Carolina to have about 16 organizations involved if we really wanted to reach all child care centers. But these are the two that stepped up to the plate right off, and we're going to include more. We're going to develop cleaner, if you will, more professional-looking materials, and, as I mentioned, outreach to other states. I just wanted to show this. There are CCHCs, child care health consultants, in the counties in white. North Carolina has 100 counties. Try counting all that up. The areas in red are mostly covered by infant toddler specialists, but not as intensively. And frankly, they won't be able to do it as intensively as the CCHC. So we're hoping to find other buddies in these counties. I'd like to acknowledge, of course, the John Rex Endowment. My own organization also, frankly, co-sponsors everything we do because I never ask for enough money from the donors. And of course, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation for helping us look into the future. Thank you very much.